Oh, come on, you can do better than that. If you want to be exactly where God is in 2023, I don't have much to ask. I know there's a lot of things people want in life, but I just want the presence of God to surround me. Because I heard that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's no condemnation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is purpose. And I just believe that we have a church of young people, a church of believers, a church of men and women, where we don't ask for much, but as long as God is present, we have all that we need. Amen. Are y'all glad to be in the building today? Are you glad to be in church? How many of you know that if you made it to this year, it's only because God kept you? Come on now, look at your neighbor and say, God kept you, God kept you. God kept you. I know you cute. I know you fly. I know you just got that new job. I know you got a little money. But know that you only here because God kept you. And he's so good. And he's worthy to be praised. I'm so glad to be here before you. My name is Charles. And I don't know if you feel like TGH is your home, but TGH is definitely my home and my safe space. And I'm so glad to be here to preach today. And I heard that y'all are starting a fast today. Wow, we was just loud a few minutes ago. I don't know what just happened. Yeah. Some of you are still wrestling with the Holy Spirit when it comes to that. But hey, man, it's okay. It's all good. And my goal today is to help you start this Daniel fast with the right perspective. Let me start by saying this, that the season of fasting is not about food. It's about faithfulness. Come on, now the Holy Ghost was already speaking through Ty with that one. It's not about food. It's about faithfulness. The act of fasting is intended to refocus you and test your commitment to obedience. Watch this. In the face of discomfort. Come on, it's easy to say yes to God when you're comfortable and all your wants are there and life ain't lifing, but how many of you know that life is gonna life and you're gonna be discomforted? But will you stay obedient and faithful even when it's uncomfortable? I believe that in this season, we as disciples of Christ cannot afford to compromise. And in our text, we encounter a young Daniel. Oh, we're gonna learn about Daniel today. Because you can't just fast like Daniel. I want you to live like Daniel. In our text today, if you go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter 1, it's in the Old Testament. Some of y'all, it's going to take a little while to get there, but it's fine because I'm going to just talk. I'm going to give you a little time. In our text today, we encounter a young Daniel who, like many of us, is tasked with the challenge of upholding the commitment to the kingdom of God while operating in a kingdom that is not of God. Oh, come on now. If you live in the United States of America, where we claim to be a Christian nation, but oftentimes we feel like we're in a kingdom that doesn't even know who God is. But Daniel, in spite of being in a godless kingdom, he remained faithful. And we're going to learn a few lessons from him about faithfulness. And he teaches us that you can operate in an ungodly society without lowering your standards. Oh, come on. Let me say that again. They heard me over here, but not over here. You can operate in society, but not lower your standards. In our text today, we'll observe three different ways that Daniel refused to compromise. Go with me to Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1 through 9, and then we're going to pray. Are y'all there? Yeah. Amen. Let's read. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and surrounded it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his lowercase g god, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his lowercase g god. Verse 3, Then the king commanded his eunuch to bring some of the people of Israel, some young people of good appearance and skillful and wise and knowledgeable and fly. It's kind of like the people at TGH, like young people who fly and got wisdom. And he wanted to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned for them a daily portion of food, watch this, that the king ate, and the wine that he drank. And they were to be educated for 3 years and stand before the king. Among these was Daniel. Somebody say Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the eunuchs gave them names: Daniel, Belteshazzar; Hananiah, Shadrach; Mishael, Meshach; and Azariah he called Abednego. This is where it gets good. Verse 8. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with wine that he drank. And therefore, he asked the chief to allow him not to defile himself. And watch what happens. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the eunuchs. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that as we start a new year and as we start to fast, I pray that as we sacrifice in our flesh, that we would gain in your spirit. I pray that we wouldn't just focus on what we're giving up as far as food, but I pray that we would focus on how we're growing in our faithfulness to you. Because, dear Heavenly Father, we know that you sacrificed it all so that we could be in right relationship with you, God. So what is a few weeks of sacrificing a little food here and there for the God who sacrificed everything because he loved us so much? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Daniel and his example as he was a fugitive and a captive in an ungodly kingdom. He refused to compromise. So dear God, teach us to live like Daniel and not just fast like him. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. You can take your seat all over the building. Amen. Y'all look good today. Hold on. It's so great to be here in the house today. And I'm looking on the front row and I see my beautiful wife. Can you give it up for my wife, Jordan? The majority of the time that I dated my wife, she was a vegan. She actually became a vegan shortly after we first started dating. So when we first started dating, we was eating wings, we was getting steak, and if you really know God, you get steak medium rare. We was eating lots. Come on now, I got some witnesses in the building. It need a little bit of red in it, cause the blood. You need a little bit of the blood. Anyway, the word. We was eating good, but then all of a sudden, she tells me that she's becoming a vegan. Now, it didn't take long for me to realize that the Lord wasn't calling me to be a vegan. It just wasn't his call on my life. I didn't see the oil on that on my life. But for her, she was very serious about being a vegan. And she was disciplined. And she refused to compromise when it came to her diet. And one thing I realized was dating became a lot harder because of how she changed her diet. It was easy to go out to eat when we could eat junk food and steak. Oh my God, why am I thinking about steak? It must be the fast. But when we started to change our diet and we focused on what was healthy and good for us, it was hard to find restaurants that could supply the needs that we had for our diet. And no matter how tempted she was to go back, and no matter how difficult she seemed to other people, she was unwilling to compromise her diet. Because for her, being a vegan was not just a diet for her. It became a lifestyle. Because she started the diet because she wanted to be a little more healthy. But later on, she embraced veganism because she started to develop convictions about food and animal cruelty. And one thing I realized about her is that when you start to change your life and you start to be a little bit more disciplined and you start to try to do what's right for you, you realize that the culture and the society you live in does not cater to that. And unfortunately, today we're seeing many Christians, I'm about to step on some toes, become comfortable with claiming Christ but compromising his standard. Oh my gosh. Because being a Christian is much more than coming to church. It's much more than holding your Bible that you don't even really open. It's a way of life. And God has a what? A standard for how you live. And you immediately realize that once you start to live by that standard, you're living in a culture, in a society where that standard is not easily upheld. And many Christians have become those type of Christians where we enjoy and we ask God for his love. Oh, we love his love, don't we? We love his grace. We love his mercy. But how many of you know that God's love language is obedience? Oh, can I say that again? Somebody didn't hear me. You want God's love and you enjoy God's love, but how many of you know that he receives love through obedience? So when he gives you salvation and he gives you grace and mercy, it also comes with a standard. And in our text today, we see a young man named Daniel, who is an example of a believer who refused to compromise that standard. My message today is called, I Can't Compromise. Somebody tap your neighbor to your left and say, I can't compromise. I can't compromise. Okay, you tapped your cute neighbor, tap the other one, and say, I can't compromise. Woo. Go with me to verse 5 as we look at this first point. In verse 5, we see that after King Nebuchadnezzar was given the tribe of Judah, because how many of you know you can't really defeat God's people, but God can hand his people over. So King Nebuchadnezzar was given Judah into his hands, and he took some captives, and he said, give me the flyest, most knowledgeable young people so we can indoctrinate them into our culture, because they love God too much, and God has given them this standard and this culture of excellency. Let's change them by indoctrinating them into our culture. And Daniel was one of the young people who was chosen to be indoctrinated. In verse 5, we see King Nebuchadnezzar, and it says, the king assigned them a daily portion of food, and it was food that he ate and wine that he drank. And not only did he try to change their diet, he said, we also will educate them for 3 years in our culture, in our ways, and then they will stand before the king. On top of them being taught, they were also assigned daily meals. And Daniel, being a captive, he refused to compromise because he realized he's not just holding us captive. He wants us to conform to this ungodly culture. Let's pause here. This sounds like what the world is currently doing with our generation. See, for us millennials and then even for y'all Gen Z, we live in a culture where we're the most innovative, we're the most fly, we're the most knowledgeable. And what the enemy wants to do is indoctrinate us in mind frames and perspectives and doctrines and theologies that are opposed to the true theology of the Bible. I've never seen Christians wrestle so much with scripture and what do you believe in doctrine than now. It's because you get on TikTok and YouTube and everybody got something to say about what's right and what's wrong. And we live in a culture where if you feel like that, that's your truth. Come on now, they love saying that too. It's like, that might be your truth, but that's not my truth. I feel like this. But how many of you know you feel like that one day, then you feel like this another day? But truth does not change. And us, as the young people like Daniel, we need to be uncompromising when it comes to the truth of God's scripture. Y'all not saying nothing to me right now. Look at your life. Ask yourself, have you compromised your walk with God for the sake of being accepted? Okay, I'm going to go into a different driveway. Have you compromised the standard of God for the sake of comfort? It's like, oh God, I started to do that sanctification thing, but then you started to mess with my sex life, and You started to go in my DMs and you started to deal with my self-esteem and you start compelling me to go to therapy and now I gotta talk. I don't wanna do all that work. I wanna be comfortable and Christian. God's standard has a way of pointing at the areas that we don't want nobody to deal with. He wants all of us, and his standard is not meant to be compromised. You have to stand firm in the name that God calls you. Oh my gosh, that's the first thing that Daniel said. He said, I cannot compromise who I am just because I'm in a weird culture. Go with me to verse 7. Because after giving them a new diet and giving them the knowledge of the Chaldeans, the king tried to change Daniel and his friends' names. Verse 7, it says, the eunuchs gave them names. You were Daniel, but here you're Belteshazzar. You see how weird, I can even say that. That's how weird the name was. He said, you're no longer Daniel. While you're here, you're Belteshazzar. And Daniel had to make the decision, will I respond and live based off of what other people call me? Oh, come on now, that's for somebody right there. Will I live based off of the names that other people call me? Or will I stay true to what I know my name is? See, what you don't know about Daniel is, Daniel has a meaning behind his name. Oh my gosh. It wasn't just any name that he had. People wonder why he was uncompromising and why he was so faithful. It's because Daniel literally means Yahweh is my judge. I'm about to run off this stage. If he would have compromised his name, he would be forgetting the fact that these people call me this, but they're not the person I have to stand before in the end. Nobody is my judge but Yahweh. Nobody can really judge me but God. So no matter what people call you, I'm speaking to somebody right now. I know people have called you things. And I know you've identified by a few different things in your life. But how many of you know that we have our identity in Christ and Christ alone? I know what people have named you. But let me encourage somebody in here. You need to hear this. You are not what you've done. For someone in here, you're not what you're doing right now. You are not what others have named you. Ooh, and here's another one, and I'm gonna keep going because I know we don't got a lot of time. You're not even what you have called yourself. Because for some of you, you look in the mirror, and you don't call yourself what God calls you. You let insecurity, you let shame, you let guilt give you a name that God did not give you. But like Daniel, even though a culture is giving you a name, even though your friends are giving you a name, even though your favorite sin is trying to give you a new identity, God has given you a name. And that name is free. And that name is saved. And that name is purposeful. And that name is filled. And ooh, I love this one. That name is forgiven for every single thing that I've done. And every scene that I'm doing, and it gets gooder than this, I'm forgiven for the things that I haven't even done yet. My name is forgiven. And I can't let anybody else make me compromise who I am. Somebody touch your heart and say this. I am who God says I am. I am who God says I am. And it wasn't just Daniel. It was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, I grew up in Sunday school. I'm a church kid. Do I have any church kids in the building? How many of y'all grew up believing that their names were actually Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? If you was in a black church, somebody probably said a bad Negro, but you know, that's not right. That's not good doctrine. I thought that those were their real names, but those were the names that the Chaldeans assigned them. And do you know that if you let other people name you, you can be called a name that was never even yours? There are some people in this life that think they know you, but they only know the name that other people call you. And they only know the name that you put on to be accepted by them. But how many of you know that when you live for God and you don't compromise his standard, you don't have to change your name, You can be authentically who you are, and everything that's not of God, the Holy Spirit will make right. But you cannot compromise who you are. I'm going to keep going because I'm getting too happy. Go to verse 8 with me. The first thing that Daniel refused to compromise, he said, I've refused to compromise who I am. We're going to find the second thing in verse 8 through 9. Because after they gave Daniel and his friends new names, that's when Daniel really got really thuggy on him. He's like, you know what? Hold on. Like, I'm a captive. I know that this is a different culture, but let me tell you something real quick. Verse 8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief eunuch to allow him not to defile himself. So in the face of being captive and in the face of the king's command to eat this way, learn this way, and identify this way, Daniel was bold enough to say, hey, I'll follow the rules, but what I can't do is eat what the king eats and drink what the king drinks. And he asked the chief eunuch to allow him to do the Daniel fast. See, I'm trying to help y'all with where this came from. He said, let us just eat vegetables. And when you read this, it doesn't give you how dangerous this request was. He was opposing the command of King Nebuchadnezzar. By him saying, hey, we not finna eat that. We just gonna eat lettuce and grass. That could have resulted. Oh, come on now. All my carnivores. Have you ever seen somebody get a wedge salad? And you like, what are we eating here? Did you just go outside to the tree and boop and like just do that? Anyway, this could have cost Daniel his life by defying the king. And it says in the next verse that the eunuch was like, hey, bro, I know you got a diet, but if I tell King Nebuchadnezzar that you are denying his diet, he might kill me. What we can learn is when you're, somebody write this down because this is good, that our faithfulness unlocks God's favor. Ooh, let me rewind that because somebody didn't hear me. Our faithfulness unlocks God's favor. In the face of danger and potential harm, verse 9 says, and God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the heart of the eunuch. So when you cooperate without compromising, when you operate and stay faithful, the person who's supposed to be your enemy and cause you harm and is supposed to be loyal to the king still has to submit to King Jesus. Oh my gosh, that's so good. Because you think, oh man, if I stay faithful and I oppose what culture says and I oppose what society says, I'll be rejected and I'll lose opportunities. But what you don't realize is that when you're faithful, God will touch people who aren't even godly and give you favor amongst people who don't even know him. Because yes, he was faithful to King Nebuchadnezzar, but all creation is submitted to God. So in his faithfulness, he received favor and compassion among the eunuchs. The second compromise, he said, I can't compromise what I consume. The first one was, I can't compromise who I am. The second one is, I can't compromise what I consume because this isn't just a diet for me. In the Old Testament, what you ate was an act of worship. It was a command. See, we living in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, where you can eat whatever you want. Back then, it was disobedient for you to break the diet. But Daniel refused to compromise. And let me go down your alley because we're not in the Old Testament. We're in the New Covenant. It's 2023. When it comes to what you consume on a daily. What content are you consuming each day? What that timeline look like? What's your devotional rhythm, if you have one? Hey, does what you consume on a daily lead you to Christ, or does it lead you to compromise? Ooh, somebody said, you are what you eat. So every day, if you're consuming gossip, if you're consuming hate, if you're consuming ratchetness, if you're consuming unrighteousness, if you're consuming people's opinions and not the word of God and not God's truth, what does your diet lead you to? And I want you to focus on that as you're doing the Daniel fast. Don't just focus on the fact that you can't eat that meat. Don't just focus on the fact that you can't eat that you can't have that sweet tea and you can't go to Chick-fil-A you want to. Focus on, what am I doing every day that is leading me to Christ? Is what I'm consuming every day making me more like him or making me more compromising? Because the enemy will nitpick on everything day by day. The enemy is patient. He'll do it one day at a time. You weren't addicted overnight, but it was one day at a time. You weren't stuck in that relationship overnight, but it was one day at a time. You didn't get in that stronghold overnight. It was one day at a time. And guess what? Getting out is going to be one day at a time. So while you're fasting, while your flesh is yelling at you saying, let's eat, your spirit is saying, I'm clearer than ever. You can finally hear me because you're not consuming those things you usually consume. The word of the Lord is clear when your flesh is uncomfortable. See, you pray better when you're in discomfort. You read scripture more when you're uncomfortable. Some of y'all in church now because you need God. And you're in an uncomfortable situation. That's why fasting is so powerful. It's forced discomfort. But it's discipline that leads to faithfulness. I'm going down a tangent. Can we read verse 9? And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the eunuchs. Because he said, I can't compromise what I consume. Let's go to verse 14 and we're going to do this third one. Y'all still with me? We good? Verse 14. Actually, we're at verse 10. I'm sorry, verse 10. I know I skipped a few. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were worse conditioned than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Verse 11, then Daniel said to the steward of the chief of the eunuchs and assigned to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths with your servants according to what you see. So what he said was, let us do the fast. And in 10 days, look at how we are versus those who ate the king's food. Watch us do it God's way and watch them do it the world's way. And let's see whose life ends up better in the end. So Daniel says, test my Lord, test the diet. After 10 days, we'll see who's stronger. So for 10 days, Daniel is eating vegetables. Daniel is drinking water. But what is he also doing? He's praying before the Lord. He's seeking God's guidance. He's growing in the spirit while everybody else is eating steak and shrimp and lobster. Then after 10 days, they brought the youth together. And it says that Daniel and his friends were stronger and appeared better than those who followed the king's diet. Can I give you some encouragement in here? The fast is going to be challenging. Living for God is hard. Living right is going to challenge you in every single way, but watch how your life turns out. Compared to the people who live based off their own desires, based off their own opinions, based off of society and culture. Have you ever been on social media and looked at people who you went to high school with? The dude who was the flyest dude in high school? The girl who was the hottest chick in high school, and you fast forward 10 years now, and you like, ooh. Sometimes it's your ex, and you like, thank you, Lord. See, you know what? Sometimes breakups are of God. But back then, they were the best in the building. They were the flyest person. But older people will say, just go ahead and live a little bit more life. Let time go by and we'll see who comes out better. Living for God does not give you instant gratification, but living for God will pay off in the long run. Come on now. You'll be better next year. You'll be better next month. You'll be better for your kids. You'll be better for your spouse. You'll be better in the long run. The world offers you better right now, but God says, I'll make your life better. Ooh, and here's the best news. I'll make your eternity better. Because all those people who enjoyed all of what the world offers, that's their reward. When it comes to the end and we see who has it better, it's going to be those who remained faithful. Go to verse 14. We finally hear now, last point. So Daniel first said, I can't compromise who I am. And then he said, I can't compromise what I consume. But this is the most powerful one. The last thing he says is, I can't compromise what God has for me. Because he already gave me a name. He already gave me stuff to consume. But there's still more that he has for me that I have to stay faithful in order to receive. There's still some stuff that he has for me, but he's waiting to see if I'll be faithful. Go to verse 14. If I make it to 17 without running, that's the work of the Lord. Verse 14. So he listened, the eunuch listened to them in this matter, and he tested them for 10 days. And verse 15 says, at the end of the 10 days, it was seen that Daniel and his friends were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than the youths who ate the king's food. Verse 16, so the steward took away their food and wine and gave them vegetables. So after the 10 days, Daniel looked better than those who ate the king's food. And then the eunuch made it to where all the other people followed God's diet because of what Daniel did. They ended up obeying God without even knowing it. And then verse 17, this is where we get the third compromise from. As for these four youths, God gave. Somebody say God gave. Because some of y'all are trying to get things from the world that only God can give. You're trying to find purpose. You're trying to find love. You're trying to find elevation. And only God can give those things. Verse 17 says, God gave them learning and skill and literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So the thing that they were supposed to get over 3 years with the Chaldeans, God gave them in 10 days for being faithful. They had knowledge, they had skill, and he put a little extra with Daniel. He gave Daniel the ability to interpret dreams and visions. So not only do you get skills and things of the world, I'm gonna give you supernatural gifts. There are spiritual gifts that come with your faithfulness. You can't interpret vision and dreams by following the world. God will give you spiritual gifts. Daniel stayed faithful. And after the test, he came out stronger and better. Let me encourage some of you, because this is some of y'all's first time fasting. This is some of y'all's first time fasting the right way. This is some of you guys' first time fasting as a church. You can know from the beginning that if you stay faithful, you will come out better than the way you started. You will come out better than how you started. And there are things that God will give you that you will never even expect. Daniel wasn't expecting to be able to interpret dreams and visions. He just expected that God would reward him for being faithful. He was just doing what God asked him to do, but ended up getting more than what he expected. Oh my gosh, that's good news for somebody. God has something for you that you're not even asking for. You're not even expecting it. And guess what? He's gonna give you something that you need for the future. There's a battle for Daniel. There's a den that you're gonna need this gift for. We're in Daniel 1, but I encourage you to read the rest of Daniel. Because Daniel could interpret visions and dreams, he ended up finding favor with King Nebuchadnezzar. Because God was giving King Nebuchadnezzar nightmares that none of his magicians and worldly leaders could interpret. He was saying, God, keep giving me these crazy dreams. What does this mean? What does this mean? And only Daniel could interpret his dreams. And because he could do that, it literally saved Daniel's life. And he became a trusted leader in the kingdom. And don't forget about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because Daniel set the standard, they were able to say no to bowing down to the king. And they were able to enter into the fiery furnace. And they said, if God kills us, amen. If he keeps us, amen. And when they got into the fiery furnace, the people looked in and they said, I thought we put three people in the furnace. I thought it was just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but it looks like it's four people in the furnace. I am about to jump off this stage. Because of their faithfulness, even in the furnace, in the fire, God was with them. Because of Daniel's faithfulness, when he was in the den with the lions obeyed God and did not do him harm. What you're going to get from this fast is going to protect you later. There's favor and compassion and there's gifts and there's visions and dreams that God wants to give you. He just wants to see, will you be faithful when you're uncomfortable? Will you be faithful when it's not easy? Will you be faithful when your friend's telling you you're tripping? Will you be faithful when it's hard? It may cost you your life. But God gives you life. So life with him is better than life here. Paul said, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. If I live, I'm still on ghetto earth. If I die, I'm with God in heaven. So what's good though? What's good? What are we talking about? Like, I cannot afford to compromise God's standard, because every time I do, I miss blessings. Every time I compromise his standard, I end up identifying in ways that's not true to who I am. Every time I compromise his standard, I end up worse off than when I started. Let me go ahead and close my Bible because we almost done here. Seek the strength of the Spirit to stay faithful. You're not going to be able to complete this fast. You're not going to be able to stay faithful. You're not going to be able to keep seeking the Lord without the strength of his Spirit. Daniel is no different than us. He's not special. He didn't just have some superpower. He wasn't endowed with something different. But he was faithful, and God gave him strength, gave him favor. See, there's things that you look on your resume and you're like, God, I don't got it. But God is saying, I don't need you to have it. I just need you to be faithful, and I'm going to give it to you. At the right time, I will show up and show out in your life. So I challenge you, not just to fast like Daniel, but to live like Daniel. Everybody stand all over the building. I'm almost done. I'm about to run and increase these ones. I'm about to get up out of here. But I want to read you a scripture. As you fast, as you start this year, because for many of us, last year was not an easy year. These past few years have felt like decades. 2020 was a decade. 2021 was a millennium. 2022 was a century. And this year might not be different, but you want to know what is the same. God's word, God's standard, and God's faithfulness. And God is calling us as disciples of Christ to have an unwillingness to compromise on who he's called us, on what we consume, because he has some things he wants to bless us with that only faithfulness will unlock. Let me give you the scripture, because all you need is word right now. I don't have any eloquent words. James chapter 2, verse 22 says this. I need you to hear this and do this. James chapter 2, verse 22. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. This, I'm talking to you. Don't just hear this message and not do it. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers. It says when you just hear and don't do, it says you're deceiving yourself. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone who looks in the mirror and goes away and forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks at God's perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves and perseveres, being not just a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. This is a promise. It says, he will be blessed in his doings. She will be blessed in her doings. Not because you're so fly, not because you work so hard, not because you got that degree, not because you on the grind, not because you look good, not because you got the baddies, not because you got the bag, but because you were faithful to God. And when you heard his word, you did his word. Then it says, God will bless all that you do. Because if you're faithful, he knows you'll only do what he asks you to do. When you're faithful, that means the desires of your heart are not your sinful desires. It's desires he's given you. That's why it says, ask anything you want in my name, and I will give it to you. He wants you to go past being a hearer of his word and being a doer. I want to extend the invitation to somebody in here. I know people say you need New Year's resolutions, and I know you said you're finna go to the gym. We know. We get it. Yeah. It's gonna happen. This year it's gonna happen. You have all those things you're gonna do, and that may or may not happen. Those are things you can afford to compromise on. But what you can't afford to compromise on is God's standard for your life, the name he gave you, the way he wants you to consume his word, because there's things he wants to give you in this season that only your faithfulness will unlock. And let me free somebody up in here. Notice I said, be faithful and not be perfect. Because no one was perfect but God himself. He's not asking you to be that. You can be faithful in the midst of a fall, because he's faithful and righteous to forgive and receive your confession. There's some of you that as you think about what you're going to have to overcome to be faithful, it brings tears to your eyes because you feel guilty, because you've been harder on yourself than anybody else. But how many of you know that God has love that covers the multitude of sin? Do you understand what a multitude is? Think about Coachella, think about Woodstock, think about a bajillion people, and think about 10 times that. That's a multitude of sins. And his love covers everything that's wrong with you. He says, be faithful, not perfect. Trust me, and I'll give you the strength from my spirit. So right now, we're going to open this altar. And this is not going to be a place for perfect people. If you're perfect, stay right there. If ain't nothing wrong with you, stay right there. If you don't need God to do nothing in your life, stay in your seat. Because you still got some other stuff to work on about how you really know yourself. You need some self-awareness. Everybody in here needs something from the Lord. And the answer for all of that is your faithfulness. Wake up every day and give him your best. Wake up every day and seek him first. The scripture says, why am I in the scripture like this? Seek first the kingdom of God and what? All of his righteousness. And then what happens? All of these things will be added to you. God is a giver. He wants to give you these things. But he asks for one thing, faithfulness. I want to extend the invitation to you. For all of you, where you're ready to make a vow to God, not to never fall, not to be perfect, not to be sinless, but to be faithful. Meet me at this altar, and let's start the year committing ourselves, giving ourselves, laying our burdens before the Lord, really trusting him with all of who we are. God, there's areas of my life that are preventing me from being faithful. It's just because I haven't trusted you with them. Lord, let me remove these things from the dark and bring them into the light. God, thank you for being perfect, because I could never reach your law standard. But Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. And all we have to do is trust in his name. And grace and mercy will cover everything that we do. If you need prayer, we have people up here who want to pray with you individually. But I'm going to do a corporate prayer. And I challenge you. Think of those things that so easily lead you to compromise. And name them, give them to the Lord. Right where you are, put your hands in a receiving posture because God wants to give. He so loved the world that he gave. And all he asks for is obedience and faithfulness. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We exalt your name. And like Daniel, we live in a society that wants us to compromise your standard. But God, in the face of discomfort, in the face of compromise, in the face of temptation, in the face of sin, we as your people, your sons and daughters, we stand at this altar, not declaring perfection, not declaring that we will be flawless, not declaring that tomorrow we won't fall, but declaring that today we will commit ourselves to being faithful. We know that it's not easy. We know that when we tried things on our own, we ended up in situations that did not please you, God. Lord, we want you to invade our lives, every area of our life, God. We open the door. We want you to come into those rooms that we let nobody in. We want to trust you with the different areas of our lives, God. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for the person who needs to know that God has forgiven them so that they can forgive themselves, God. I pray against the spirit of guilt and shame, God. I pray against the spirit. Let me say that again. I pray against the spirit of guilt and shame, God. I pray that the voice in their head that's reminding them of every reason why they're not called, of every reason why they can't walk in purpose, of every reason why they're not your son and daughter. I pray that you would block those voices out and that you would fill their days with your voice, with your word, with your truth. I pray that you will remind them of what their real name is. I pray that you will remind them that in you, you have given them freedom. I pray that you would know and that you would have them in your hand and that they would trust that in you, they are never safer than when you wrap your arms around them, God. There's some people at this altar where this is their first time making this vow. It's their first time fasting before you, God. I pray that they would know that it's not about the act of eating, that it's about making our flesh uncomfortable so our spirits can be filled, God. I pray that it's about making more room for the Holy Spirit in our lives, God. I pray it's about developing a rhythm of devotion that will take us deeper in you and in your word, God. I pray that we would fall more in love with Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I pray that we would have a deeper relationship with you, God. I pray that we would take people off pedestals. I pray that we would stop worshiping false idols. I pray that we would come to church and whether it's worship, whether the slides are on or not, whether the pastor or the preacher is killing it, we just want your presence. We just want Jesus. Oh, my gosh. We just want you, God. We just want Jesus. I just want my Lord. I just want the one who died for me. I want the one who loved me first. I want the one who shaped and formed me in my mother's womb and said, I have a purpose for you and I have a destiny for you. I want the one who forgave me before I even fell. I want the one who died on the cross. And I want the one that they put in the tomb. Hey, but I also want the one who rose on the third day. Victorious. And defeated death. And I want the one who is coming back. He's coming back for me. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for us. And it says that when he comes back, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And all of those who stayed faithful, they will be so filled with joy. And it says you will wipe away every tear and you will give us new bodies and we will worship forever with the one who loved us the most. Dear Heavenly Father, you reward faithfulness. You grant favor and you give us compassion. And we just thank you that we don't have to. We don't have to not be broken for you to bless us. You do your best work with flawed, broken people. You do your best ministry with messed up people. Jesus was the only one you required to be perfect. You just require us to be faithful. Dear Heavenly Father, we vow today to do our best to be faithful. And everyone that agree with this prayer says amen. Oh, come on, you can do better. Say amen. Amen. And amen.